Back on the fast lane across the Virginia Talk Radio Network, thank you for carving a little time for us today. If you need some time to get outside, exercise, and practice social distancing, it's time to visit Poplar Grove Golf Club in Amherst, consistently voted one of the top golf courses in the Commonwealth of Virginia by the VSGA and Virginia Golfer magazine. You can social distance, enjoy the gorgeous views of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and TikTok, sign up by May 1st to lock in that rate for you or couples or families for up to 2 years. Poplar Grove Golf Club, located in scenic Amherst, Virginia. Now, ACCSports.com founder with The Athletics Carolina, The Athletic Carolina, and host of The Dave Glenn Show, Dave Glenn, joins us here on the Fast Lane. Dave, it's been a while since we last spoke, when we last spoke, it was BC before coronavirus. Now that we speak in this unique era, how are you and your family doing?
Doing well, Ed. It's good to hear your voice again. Good to be back with you, even though it's under these pandemic circumstances. I have two young adult children, and one lives off campus at East Carolina University. And when his roommate went home, he just decided to stay there and do the college by video thing. And my daughter's a high school senior, so it has complicated everything you could imagine, from senior prom to senior musical and senior chorus and senior yearbooks and everything else. But she just decided this week she's going to be attending Appalachian State University here in North Carolina. So, you know, the show goes on for you and me and everybody else, but certainly under really weird circumstances. But it has been fun in one sense to, you know, have my wife and my dog and my daughter all under the same roof and spending more quality time together than we did when it was a little bit more hustle and bustle out there.
Yeah, it's a weird time. There's not really any precedent for it, I guess you could say. For you, how much of your show, your contributions for ACCSports.com and The Athletic Carolina are focused on when we will return to action, even though seems like that's a very moving target?
Yeah, I'm actually happy that I've got a reduced workload right now, because I'm not sure that I would want to have to churn out the same amount of content, audio, writing, editing, or otherwise, when, yes, there are still some interesting things to discuss, but without games, it's kind of like those who cover college sports, you know, the summer months, where I remember occasionally in the middle of July or whatever wondering, what the heck am I going to talk about today on a three-hour show? So now, instead of that just being a handful of weeks that are a little slower in the middle of the summer, now it's every week. So I am writing less. I am doing less. I am just kind of dialing back a little bit. But I'd say, you know, the majority of what I'm writing on college sports, you know, put aside the NFL draft or, you know, other things that matter here in North Carolina, probably 75% of what I'm writing about college sports involves the future. And that is either, you know, the NCAA's proposal today about what the future of college sports is going to look like and whether Congress is going to get involved to help create that framework, or whether there's going to be a college football season, and if so, when, and will it be a full season? And if not, how much damage will there be financially? There are a lot of questions out there that have the people I know in college athletics, I think, as anxious as I've ever seen them, Ed, because looking back at this last year, ACC schools, for example, know that the hit, looking backward, is only going to be about $2 to $3 million per school. And I know that sounds like a lot of money, but $2 to $3 million when you have a $100 million athletic department is manageable. It's looking forward where the numbers get really scary, because if you don't have an NCAA tournament next year, or certainly if you didn't have a college football season, and, you know, with fans paying that money for those tickets, you know, those are huge hits to the college sports financial model. And that has some athletic directors not only looking at emergency scenarios, but in some scenarios wondering how the heck they're going to get through it, you know, with it still looking like college sports as you and I have known it in our careers. So it's speculative to a great degree, and there's a great chance that if you and I talked you know, let's say in early June, a month and a half from now, I think these ADs and university presidents are still not going to have the answers that they need for what next academic year looks like. It might be later in June or even July before they're ready to make decisions about this college football season, for example.
It's vastly interesting, and we'll get into that in just a moment with you and Dave Glenn of the ACC Sports Journal, the David Glenn Show and the Athletic Carolina with us here on the Fast Lane. But you mentioned just a $1 to $2 million loss per school from the ACC this past year. How much did that limited financial shortfall play into Wake Forest saying, and they're a private university, so they don't have to disclose their financial records, but how much did it play into their saying, you know what, I guess we can bite the bullet and you know, change coaches, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic and the optics may not be great, and we have to eat anywhere between, I've heard, $8 to $15 million in buyout, but either way, that's a hefty sum.
It is, and you know, up the road at Boston College in ACC country, there is no doubt that the uncertainty of the pandemic wreaking havoc on Boston College athletics helped Jim Christian keep his job. That's a guy who's been at BC for six straight years, has nothing but, you know, missed losing records, basically, and zero NCAA tournament appearances. Maybe he made one NIT, but if you have that track record over 6 years at any ACC school without a single trip to the Big Dance, and that's your first 6 years, you are almost inevitably going to be fired. And he kept his job in part because, as Boston College AD Martin Jarman said on the record, there was too much uncertainty. He not only didn't want to pay Jim Christian's buyout, he wasn't sure how the interview process was going to go when you're not, you know, flying in jets or, you know, typical travel is not as possible in most cases. And I'm sure, I know for a fact, that Wake Forest didn't fire Danny Manning 1 year ago, largely for those big buyout reasons. They couldn't find a booster the way SEC schools find much easier, it seems, to sign a big check to take up at least a chunk of that, what would have been last year, an eight-figure buyout. You know, it was listed as $18 million last year, $15 million this year. And for a while, the uncertainty kind of tied Wake Forest's hands. If you followed not just the athletics part of this, but the university part of this, these schools are worried about lawsuits. And there are already some with, you know, parents and students suing schools for partial tuition refunds because they didn't get the full college experience. We've already seen schools have to refund part of room, board, and meal plans, for example, because they didn't fully finish the semester for on-campus residents of those universities. So once part of that picture started to become a little bit more clear, then the Wake Forest athletic director, John Curry, at least had a better understanding of his finances. And at that point, I think Wake decided that even though, yes, it's expensive to pay the big buyout, and we're not sure of the exact number, but it's a lot of millions of dollars, it can be just as expensive to keep an unpopular coach who, in Danny Manning's case, had five losing seasons in 6 years surrounding that one NCAA tournament trip. So it was time at Wake Forest. I think everybody knew that it was time for the Deacons to turn the page. And John Curry finally was given the green light, I think, by the administration to go ahead and make that expensive change.
Dave Glenn with us here on the Fast Lane. Dave, looking forward for that job at Wake Forest, a handful of names have emerged. The two that I've heard the most frequently, and you can certainly shed more light into who is a front runner for this job, but Steve Forbes, East Tennessee State, mid-50s, Wes Miller, mid-30s, 37, not just from Greensboro down the road and having coached right now at UNC Greensboro and playing in Carolina for North Carolina Chapel Hill, but younger age, program that's been good on the upswing but not necessarily spectacular. Does that play into Wake Forest's thinking that maybe Wes Miller would be the guy that they would go with just because of the limited financial commitment and obviously the uncertainty that is on the horizon?
Well, it's going to be interesting because those are two of the guys that have talked to Wake Forest. There are more. I remember former Ohio State coach Thad Matta who's been out of coaching for the last 3 years. He is in the mix. Pat Kelsey of Winthrop is in the mix. Tommy Amaker, now at Harvard, the former Duke player and assistant coach who previously was at Michigan and Seton Hall. He's done a great job at Harvard. He has talked to Wake Forest as well. And former Wake coach Dave Odom, his son Ryan Odom, of the 16 seed over 1 seed UVA, UMBC, those are the six guys that we believe have talked to Wake Forest. But you're right to circle Steve Forbes and Wes Miller. And one more interesting part of the Wes Miller story, for those who don't know, Wes Miller's father, Ken Miller, is such a prominent former Board of Trustees member at Wake Forest University and such a prominent athletics booster that the family name is on the facility where the Demon Deacons men's basketball team practices. So I can't think of another example. I imagine it's happened. But Wes Miller is the son of the man who donated so many Mega Millions that the Deacs practiced in a building called the Miller Center. And now Wes is one of the leading candidates. So, you know, do you want that? Do you not want that? Doesn't that make him a more attractive candidate? Does that make him a less attractive candidate? Some Wake fans believe that Wes Miller, at 37 years old, really wants to end up at his alma mater, North Carolina, someday. And maybe his resume someday will be good enough for that when Roy Williams steps away. But it's a guessing game right now. I still think multiple candidates are in play. Steve Forbes of East Tennessee State does have a pretty darn good track record in the Southern Conference, but he signed a lot of junior college guys and other transfers to build that ETSU program, and that's not really the way they do business at Wake Forest. So that is kind of a possible fly in the ointment there. Whereas Wes Miller, you know, grew up in North Carolina. UNC Greensboro is, you know, less than an hour away from Wake Forest, so he knows the recruiting turf. He knows the ACC as a guy who played in this league. It's just a matter of whether, you know, those family dynamics make it more likely Wes is the guy, less likely Wes is the guy. You know, those are among the things that John Curry, the AD, is contemplating right now. But you're right, there's probably not a lot of money to throw around. All the guys I just mentioned would be making a lot more money at Wake than they would in their current jobs. And one of the reasons you don't hear a guy like John Beilein's name thrown around is because he would be too expensive for a university that has one of the smaller budgets in the ACC athletically, and of course is also in the process of paying that huge Danny Manning buyout right now and also dealing with these pandemic financial issues.
More on that in a moment, Dave. If you're okay, we'd love to hold you through the break and then ask you about that and the outlook for the ACC and college athletics and, of course, the name, image, and likeness. Are you cool with that?
Let's do it.
ACCSports.com founder and also contributor to The Athletic Carolina, Dave Glenn. Of course, you know him from the David Glenn Show in North Carolina. With us on the Fast Lane, the horizon of college sports. That's what we'll discuss next. You're listening to The Fast Lane across the Virginia Talk Radio Network.